Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Nun Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line, at the end of the top line of Daf Nun Tes. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. I want to point out that before we read that as well, we mentioned on our previous shiur, which started on Daf Nun Zayin, that we were dealing with a topic, and we are dealing with a topic that is, in a sense, one continuous topic till the end of the Perek, till Daf Samach. As a result, words of introduction for this shiur would be too lengthy, and hence we highly recommend that if you didn't hear the previous shiur, it would be absolutely necessary to do so in order to understand today's shiur of Daf Nun Tes. This is a mere continuation of what we were discussing last time. On this side, we have the Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei the topic heading, Mivneh structural note, and a trapezoid or volcano shape appears. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take style Gemara. And if you allow your eye to skim down the page, you will notice there are quite a few of these markings extending down to more than halfway down the page. Essentially, the entire opening discussion uses this scheme. So the narrow shape, the narrow part of the volcano facing upwards, represents a kushya, question. HaGemara makshe mi mishne de kainim peros v'chule. The Gemara will raise a question from the Tanaic source that we had already seen. This is our Mishnah. It's our Mishnah is quoted here that begins with the words Koinim Peres. And in this Tanaic source, the Royim, the Gidule Heter, Loi Mevatlim Ho'iker, that the subsequent additional growth of the vegetation does not annul the original plant. And this point, whereas the original plant, where the original plant was usur, was forbidden, the additional growth, the additional heter growth, doesn't cancel the original. And as I said, if this sounds a little abstract or hard to understand, this was dealt with extensively in our previous year. Anyway, this is v'koshal Rab Yanai v'Rab Ami li'el nun zayin mibayz. And if you have Nun Zayin Amud Beis available, you will notice they were marked off accordingly, who held that the Gidulei Heter are effective in being Mevatel the Isser. We saw that with Rav Yamai's discussion on Botzel Shel Truma. He said Mutter. And Rav Ami on that Omid as well, when he was asked the second time, he attempted to say a point in Halacha which suggests that the subsequent growth of Heter would be Mevatel the Isser. Now, that having been said, we pick up our Gemara in the text, the end of the first line, Mosiv Rami Bar Chamos. We're asking on that day that says that the Gidulin, the subsequent growth, is Mevatel, annuls the original item. What the Mishnah said, and once again, we don't have to dwell on the entire understanding of the Mishnah, just one point will be necessary, and that's what is quoted at the end of this framed source. It says, Koinim Peres Ha'elu Alai, Koinim Hein Alpi, Koinim Hein Lepi. Person imposes upon himself a prohibition of these fruits. He doesn't say what about the fruits is usur. He just says they are usur unto me. Usur b'chilufein b'gdereim. He cannot benefit from anything that's given in exchange of them. If they're sold and you get money for it, the money would be usur to benefit from, and their subsequent growth as well. If he phrases the vow she'eni oichel v'she'eni toyim, here he specifies that the fruits are also with regard to his eating of them. He is entitled to, yes, benefit from money he receives in exchange for that. He doesn't eat the money, he doesn't chew the coins, so the money is okay for him to benefit from, and the gidulehen, the subsequent growth, is allowed if the item that was planted is zarokola, meaning the seed disintegrates in the new growth. Aval b'dover she'ein zarokola, if it's a type of vegetation that the original plant, the original seed or bulb, does not disintegrate, it simply expands, then afilu gidule gidulin asurin. And here we want to emphasize that even the growth that derives from the growth, a third generation, if you will, considering the original, even that will be prohibited. The Rashi on the fourth line from the top, afilu gidule gidul masurim alma di'ein gidule heter malin eso isur. We see that the successive growth does not cancel the original. So if you planted something that was, you had accepted upon yourself as a neder, you had prohibited it, self-imposed prohibition on a particular plant, that's what you had prohibited. And yet, when it's a dover shein zara kola, the subsequent growth, even the gidule gidulim, do not cancel it. The subsequent growth is not something you had vowed against. It's not something that you would say is objectively prohibited, but it's ineffective in annulling the prohibition. And Rashi points out, v'kashya l'Rebbe Ami. This is a problem for Rebbe Ami, who had appeared back on Nun Zayin Amid Beis. Response. Omar Rebbe Abba, shiny koinomos. The case featured in the Mishnah involves someone using the konom expression. The reason that the gidulim do not mevatel the ikur, that the reason the subsequent growth does not annul the original, is as follows. Hayil v'iboy mitchil olayhu, since if he wanted to, he had the option of being shoyol on the nether. Mitchil, shoyol, that means to rescind the vow through presenting the vow to a sage, to a Talmud Chacham. You can have the vow rescinded. And since a konom, it's a form of vow, is subject to being rescinded, meaning it's subject to becoming mutar, being allowed, havaluhu kedover sheyesh lamatirin. It puts it in the category of halacha called dover sheyesh lamatirin, and this we discussed in our previous, in our recent shiurim, something that has a potential heter, without relying on bittol, without relying on annulment. So things like that, dover sheyesh lamatirin, v'ein batel barov, they are not subject to being annulled in the face of a majority of heter. So you're dealing with something that's, we'll say, very potent, and therefore the gidule gidulin cannot annul it. But it's in general, like what the topics that Rav Ami was discussing and Rav Yanai back on Nun Zayin Amit Beis, they weren't dealing, at least we think right now, they weren't dealing with a Dover Sheol Shalomatirin. The Gemara, though, asks, is that really so? Varei truma di boy mitchel alo batli. Truma is a tithe that one separates from his produce and gives to a kohen. If for some reason a person wanted to reverse his truma declaration, he could do that. He could do that by being shoyal on the truma. The truma is a dedication that he makes when he tithes, he separates the produce, he declares a truma. He can undo that through she'elah. So the term or the labeling of something as truma is something that can be rescinded, and yet it is subject to annulment in a majority of heter. Disnan saw truma tameya shenoflo lepachos mimei achulin tirkav. If you have a saw, it's a measure, type of measure, a certain quantity of truma that became defiled and it fell into less than 100 parts chulin. Chulin is mundane or common allowed produce. Then the whole mixture tirkav has to be set aside to rot. We can infer from this that if the truma tamea, the saw of truma tamea, fell into 100 saw of chulin, it would have become botel. Tale means botel for our purposes, and that is a then challenge to what Rabbi Abba had said. The Gemara answers, Amri, the case here of the truma being botel is betruma beyond kayin askin and delo motzi mitchel alah. It's truma after it was given to the kohen. Truma after it's given to kohen, it doesn't have she'elah. It can't be rescinded. Therefore, it is botel. It is subject to annulment. It's not a dover she'esh lematirin. Ihachi eimosefa. If so, that you're dealing in the source just quoted with truma biad kayin, continue reading this very same Tanaic source. It says, "Im hoisa tahora timocher lekohen." If instead of being truma tamei, it was truma tahora, and it fell into chulin, you would be able to sell the mixture to a kohen. We don't have to deal with the details of truma right now, but notice the direction things are taken. Timocher lekohen. It indicates then that the reisha was talking not about truma biyad kohen. It's before it got to the hands of the kohen. If it's before it got to the hands of the kohen, then it's something that does have she'elah. So then why is there bittul? Ella, the Gemara says, in truth, the truma above does not have she'elah. It's not a davar she'esh lematirin because it's b'Yisrael she'naflulu mibeis avi imoy kohen askinon. The source, in fact, is talking about truma that had already been given to a kohen. You'll ask, if it had been given to a kohen, then what's this business of sell it to a kohen? So it's a little more complicated. It's truma that was given to a kohen who happened to have a grandson. A grandson through his daughter. And that grandson was not a Kohen. So you can have a Kohen whose grandson is a Yisrael. But, and this grandfather had, let's say, had in his possession Truma that had been given to him. At that point, there it's no longer subject to She'elah. The grandfather died. The grandfather had only a daughter as an heiress. And she had a son. This daughter had been married to a Yisrael. And the Yisrael grandson inherited the truma. He can't eat it himself, but it's his possession with regard to being allowed to sell it to a kohen. So with this explanation, the truma is not a davar she'esh lematirin. There is no she'elah because it had already been given to a kohen, the grandfather. The Gemara asks, "V'ha katani seifa timocher l'kayin chutz midmei oisasa." Says that regarding the truma that had fallen into the chulin, it says you can sell it to a kohen, with the exception of the original se'ah of truma that had fallen in. In other words, we don't want you benefiting from that. And if that's the case, it could not be talking about truma that had once been given to a kohen, as we suggested before, but rather it's truma that had just been separated and not yet given to a Kohen, so that you can sell the entire mixture with the exception of the Truma amount that's in there, because you as a Yisrael are not allowed to benefit from the Truma. It's a gift given to the Kohanim, not for you to benefit from. So if that's the case, then we're back to square one. We're dealing with a problem, a kasha, on Rabbi Abba's teretz. In other words, you see that we're dealing with Truma before it was ever given to a Kohen, and that very Truma has a bittul potential. It can be annulled in the case it falls into a majority of other stuff. So what do we see from here? We see something, Dover Shiyeshlo Matirin, the Truma, and yet there is bittul. That is a problem for Rabbi Amo's principle. Answer? No, this is a long answer. It takes us to the end of the discussion. Elo Emo, rather restate what Rabbi Abba was trying to say above. Bishlamo Koinomois Mitzvah Litshuli Alehen. Above, when Rabbi Abba said that the Koinim is different, it's a Dover Shiesh Lamatirin because you can be Shoyal on it. Not just that you can be Shoyal on it, but it's a mitzvah to rescind a neder, a vow. And you'll ask, what's the reason that we say there's a mitzvah to rescind it, to be shoyal on it? Mishum to Rabbi Nosson, because of Rabbi Nosson's teaching. Diyom Rabbi Nosson kol anoyder kilubon abama. Anyone who vows, we look at it askance. It's like one who builds an altar, a personal altar, which is strictly forbidden after the time of the Beis Hamikdash. V'amekaimo, and one who fulfills his vow. Ki'ilu maktir olot, it's as if he's offering a sacrifice on the bama. So that vow making is something we expect you to rescind. It's a mitzvah to have it undone. That's a real dover shiesh l'matirin. Aval truma, my mitzvah l'chielo. But truma, once Yisrael tithes his produce, setting aside the truma, what urgency is there in him having the truma dedication reversed? And since there's no mitzvah in having it reversed, it's not viewed as a dover shiesh lematirin, and therefore it is subject to annulment, to bittul. And so with that, we defend Rabbi Abba's teretz to the kasha that Rami Bar Chama had raised at the top of this daf. Gufa. This bow tie marking is explained on the side under the Mivneh heading. And by the way, if you need to access our marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. The bow tie shape highlights Tzitutim. These are quotes. Midivrei Amoraim Le'el Nun Zayin Amid Beis. We saw the Amoraim that will be quoted here, who had been introduced to us initially on Nun Zayin Amid Beis. So just take a bird's eye view of the Gemara structure. Gufa here, Rabbi Yochanan is quoted from Nun Zayin Amid Beis. And as you continue down Nun Tes Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom, you see again, do you see the bow tie? There, Rabbi Hanina Tirsa is quoted, who had also appeared on Nun Zayin Amid Beis. Gufa, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Litra, Bitzolim, Shetikna, Vizora, Misaseres Lefi Kula. A litra, as we had seen previously, is a measure of, in this case, Bitzolim, of onions. That Tikna means that he had tithed, and then he planted the tithed onions. When he harvests the increased growth of the onions, when he harvests his onions, he has to tithe the whole amount, the whole bunch. What do we see? So the principle we saw then was that gidulim are mevatel the ikur. That was the principle we saw. In this case, the ikur, the original, is something that you had tithed. Why is it then that when you harvest it, and the onion is something we described as something that is still, the original onion is still present. That's the nature of onion growth, that the original onion is there. It's simply, by putting it in the ground, it generated more onion growth. But if what you put in the ground was tithed already, why, when you harvest it, you have to retithe it? Yosef Rabo v'ka'omar loho shmaitza. Rabo was seated and he had said over this particular teaching that misaser sofi kula, and we have a new marking, the house shape, you'll see appears in an alternating direction, and this is explained on the side under the ma'akav. We have a back and forth structure, and again, just like in the previous piece of Gemara, this back and forth structure will take us down practically to the bottom, practically to the end of Amud Beis. So it's a vigorous discussion that will ensue. The tip of the house facing upwards represents Kushos al Rabbi Yochanan. It will be challenging Rabbi Yochanan's point, and the inverted shape will be an attempt to defend, to answer the questions. Omar le Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says to Rabbo, Man soyes loch ule Rabbi Yochanan raboch. Who's going to heed your words and the words of Rabbi Yochanan? And as Rabbo quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who's going to listen to you and Rabbi Yochanan, your teacher? Heter shibuhen le'echon halach. Where did the heter go? In other words, the original onion bulb that had been tithed, why do you need to tithe it again? Where did the heter, the permission of that rested upon that original onion, where did it go? Omar lay, so Rabbo responds, Mi lo tnan de kavasa. Do we not have a Tanaic source that would support this point? This source reads, Betzalim shiyod oleim gishomim, Betzalim, onions that had grown in the sixth year. They were left in the ground into the seventh year, the Shemitah year. Growth of the Shemitah year is subject to restrictions, without getting into details, but the realm of Shemitah is considered the realm of, we'll say, the realm of prohibition. So you have sixth year, which are allowed, sixth year onions, that upon which, while in the ground, rain fell during the seventh year, v'tzimchu, and they continue to grow without your exerting any efforts, im hoyu erlin shalem shchayrin asurim. If the leaves that develop are dark in color, indicating that they are fresh and strong, and hence they reflect seventh year growth, asurim, they're all of them. And here, if you look at the Tosfos commentary at the very top of the page, that's the main point. Even that which had grown in the sixth year is usur. Alma heter didhu poka. You see from here that the heter went away. Horiku mutorin. If the, we're reading back in the Gemara text, that is, if the leaves appeared withered, so there was no additional growth during the seventh year, so they remain with their sixth year heter identity. So the Gemara points out, v'chishchorin amaya surin. So if the leaves appear dark in color, why do we say that the whole thing is asur? Lemo heter shebehen lehechon holach. Why not use your objection, where did the heter go? And yet it seems that that's the way things operate. That when there's subsequent growth, that annuls whatever heter there was beforehand. Just like Rabbi Yochanan had taught. Omar Lei, Rav Chisda responds, Mi Savris al Iker Kotani, who says that when the source on the top uses the expression asurim, that is a reference to the ikr, to the original onions, the 6 year onions. Atesefes kotoni asurim. The term asurim, meaning shvius identity, that's only a reference to the subsequent growth, not the original growth. So now, a response to that. Ihachi, if that's your explanation of the Betzolim source, of that onion source, my also Reb Shimon ben Gamliel lemeimar, what would Reb Shimon ben Gamliel be coming to tell us, Desanya? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel oimer, regarding that very same source, he says, Hagodol b'chiyuv chayev, Hagodol b'ptur poter. That which grew in the seventh year, that is prohibited. That which grew in the sixth year, b'ptur meaning with exemption, is exempt from the rules of the seventh year. Well, Tanakama nami hochi omar, the Tanakama, according to what you, Rav Chista, are saying, the Tanakama is also saying the same thing. So, well, I have news for you. Kula masnisin Rav Shimon ben Gamliel kotoni la. The whole source, the Resha and the Seifa, are authored both by Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The Ad Kan Lo Shamis Lei Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the idea of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that the heter remains, that the heter is not annulled. The Lo Kotorach, where the owner, the person didn't get involved. You might have noticed the onions of the sixth year were left in the ground. There was no involvement of the owner. So in such a case, the concept of het shebehen leichon halach can be applied. Avol hecho de kotorach botil baruba. But where the owner is involved, where you had some plants that you tithed, like Rabbi Yochanan's din, which of course Rabba is here to defend. Rabbi Yochanan's din, of man took a measure of Betzalim, he tithed it, and then replanted it. In other words, it had reached a heter, a stage of heter, and while in the stage of heter, you, the owner, was involved. Torach means you invested efforts. And your efforts of replanting it is what causes the subsequent growth to annul the original. Reading that phrase again, Avol hecha dekotorach botil beruba, which is what Rabbi Yochanan said. So a distinction is made within the source dealing with the Betzolim, and that which Reb Shimon ben Gamliel spoke about, that Agodol b'chiyuv chiyuv, Agodol b'ptur ptur, where the subsequent growth doesn't annul the original, that is a case where there was no involvement. So to review what we've said as far as the final response, the source dealing with the Betzolim Shiordolem Kshomim that started at the bottom of Omid Aleph, in which we saw the subsequent growth annulling what was there originally, that is a function of that's a function of non-involvement. Let us just make a correction on what we just said, but rather the point that Rabbo is making is as follows, that the explanation Rav Chisto gave, that the only the Tosefes is Osir, but not the original, because of what Rav Chisto said was his concern for Heter Shebohen Lehechon Holach, well, that's true, that the Heter is the Isser, is the prohibition is going only on the Tosefes, but that's only where the owner did not invest efforts. He was not Torach. So if he was not Torach, the original item remains with its original identity, and only the subsequent growth is that which is usur. However, as far as what Rabbi Yochanan was describing, that's different than the case that was featured in the source with the sixth year Betzalim upon whom rain had fallen in the seventh year, because Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a case where the owner had invested efforts. He had a litra Betzalim that he tithed and then replanted. In such a case, the subsequent growth does annul that which was there originally, and hence Rabbi Yochanan's din of misaseres lefi kula. And as far as heter shebohen, yeah, the heter shebohen halach, it went away. That going away is a function of the annulment, which is a function, or if you like, a pun. It's an outgrowth of the owner having been Torah. We continue in the Gemara. Question: V'chol hecha dekot Torah botil beruba? Is that really so, that when the owner invests efforts, energies, we say that the original heter is annulled in the majority of iser, varei, litro, Meiser Tevel Dekotorach Vekotani. Litro again is a measure of Meiser that was untithed, and this again is a source that we had seen in the past. This was a case of Meiser that had been given to a Levi, and the Levi did not tithe from it the Trumas Meiser. In other words, all the other tithes had been removed before being given to the Levi, and just the Meiser, the Trumas Meiser that the Levi is expected to tithe, well, he didn't take care of it. So we have an example of this Litra Meiser that was replanted, Vikotoni, and it says, the Oiso Litra Me'aser oleh mimokam acher lefi cheshbon. That litra meiser tevel that was planted and then grew into new plants, the original trumas meiser that had not been tithed must be taken care of. And we don't say that we don't say that even though there was tircha on the part of the owner, that tircha will annul whatever original status or whatever original needs had been there. So here we have a challenge to the chiluk that Rabbah had given us before. So the Gemara responds, Shiny Gabi Meiser. The case involving Meiser is different. The Omar Kro, Aser Ta Aser, Hetero Zari Inchi, Isura Lozari Inchi. To appreciate this, we look at the Rashi across from here. Hetero Zari Inchi, Dober Shumasukun, something that has been fully tithed, Regilim B'nei Odom Lizroa. That is what people are accustomed to planting. Visagi lay b'shnei meisris, b'meiserishon and meisersheni. That when you plant something that is mutter, then we say that when you harvest the crop, all you have to tithe is the basic meiserishon that you would give to a Levi, and then meisersheni, which you would eat in Jerusalem. Avol dover shel iser ein regilim b'nei odom lizroa. But something that is not permitted. In other words, if you plant something that hasn't been fully tithed, people don't ordinarily plant that. And the case in this Tanaic source where the Levi had planted it without having tithed the Trumas Meiser, Kansinon Lei Hashto Shema Aser Oisa Iser Shoholo Lite Neshtakeid Shelo yistakir b'kach. We now impose a fine upon him and say, listen, you know, last year, this stuff that you planted had not had its trumas meiser, its 10% tax that you owe to the Kohen removed from it. So now that you're harvesting it, we don't want you to keep that for yourself. We don't want you to benefit from that. So you have to take care of that tax right now. Shelo yistakir b'kach, as Rashi says. But just to review the main point, that in general, where something is planted and the owner is torach, invests efforts regarding the, we'll call the subsequent growth, that subsequent growth will annul whatever original status was there with regard to that particular plant. And that is what Rabbi Yochanan had taught in his case of the Litra B'Tzom Shetikna V'Zor Misaseres Lefi Kula that we saw quoted on the lower part of Omer Aleph. We continue now in the Gemara with another quote from Daf Nun Zayin. Gufa Omer Rabbi Chanina. Omer Rabbi Chanina Tirsot. Tirsot is the name of his place. Omer Rabbi Yanai. Botzel Shel Truma Shenotoi. V'rovu gidulov al ikoro muter, a botzal that had been tied as truma. So you have a truma onion, and it was planted, and the subsequent growth was greater than the original. It is muter. So now, the Gemara asks, and we have a new marking scheme. The triangle is going to be used here to keep track of the back and forth structure, and we call this a ma'akav. You can see on the side, the point facing up will be a kushio, a question, and the inverted would be a response. So, having heard this din of the botzel shel truma shenotai v'rovu gidulov al ikoro muter, that it's now muter, sounds like it's not truma anymore. L'meimra. The gidule, we continue at the top of Daf Samach Omer Aleph. The gidule heter malin eso isur. Are we then to suggest that subsequent heter growth of cancels or annuls the original prohibited amount? V'atnan, have we not though learned gidule truma truma? That the subsequent growth from an original truma item is also truma. So what was Rav Yanai talking about? Answer, begidule gidulin koamrinon. What Rav Yanai was talking about was a case where you're dealing with a third generation, so to speak. Rav Yanai was describing a case where you had taken gidule truma and planted it, and that produced an additional growth. In that case, the subsequent growth can annul the original. And what's the original? The original was itself not original truma. It was a growth from truma. So the third generation of additional growth cancels the second generation. The Gemara asks, Ha Nami Tanina, but this we've already learned in a Tanaic source. Hidule, Hidulin Chulin. So that, what do I need Rav Yanai for? Answer, Ha Komash Malon. What Rav Yanai reveals to us, Afilu B'dover She'ein Zaroi Kola. That the heter extends even to produce where the original item does not disintegrate. Example, onions. The Gemara asks, V'hotnan, but have we not learned the following? Hatevel, hidulav mutarin, bedover shezaro kolo. Untithed produce that you plant, the subsequent growth is mutter. Now, here the Ran on Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis explains. Tevel, after it's been piled up into a what we call a kree, you're not allowed to eat from it achilas aroi, even a snacking type eating. However, untithed produce before miruach is the term that the halacha uses, before it's piled up into a pile, though it's untithed, one is allowed to eat from it achilas aroi, a snacking type eating. So we have a source that says tevel, which had reached a point where even achilas aroi is usur, and you took some of that and planted it, the subsequent growth is mutter, meaning you would be allowed to eat from the subsequent growth achilas aroi. But that's provided you're dealing with the davar shezara kola, where the original seed disintegrates. Avol davar shein zara kola, gidule gidulin asurin. But something which we describe as ein zara kola, even the third generation gidulin are prohibited. So is this not a challenge to what we were answering on behalf of Rav Yanai? The Gemara answers, Ribui de Ravu Gidulin al Ikoroi Mutter Komash Molon. In order to appreciate this, we look at the Ran on Nun Tesomid Beis. We have a star helping you to find it a little more easily in the lower part of the Ran commentary. Hochi garsino hosom de lo rovu gidulin ali koro, hocha de rovu gidulin ali koro, klomar. Ki amrinon gabi tevel, de gidule gidulin asurin, this comment that was made in the Tanaic source, that the gidule gidulin are asur, mayri b'shel lo rovu gidule gidulin ala ikir. That's talking about a case where the gidule, that third generation, was not the majority over the original. The Hainu Gidulin. Original in that case was the second generation. Avol hocha gabi botzel shel truma. Mayri, the din of Rav Yanai, who spoke about the botzel shel truma, is a case where sherovu gidule gidulin al hagidulin. The third generation, in fact, outnumbered the second generation, and in that case the Gidule Gidulin will annul the Gidulin, and that is what Rav Yanai's Chiddush was, that even though you're dealing with a Dover Shein Zaro Kolo. At this point you can see we've come to the end of the seventh Perek, and before we conclude our shir, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.